It's good to see you out tonight. Appreciate the presence of all who are here. It's encouraging to me. Believe you me, it is. See some folks from West Carrollton. They come to see if I know anything other than the parables. Appreciate them being here as well. It's good to be with them all last week. I want to begin our study this evening by asking you sort of a question that you may think doesn't necessarily apply when you are preaching a gospel lesson. But I want to ask you, have you ever had a bad day? I would just think about that now and consider that. Have you had a bad day? I know I had a 15-year-old grandson come home one day, and he told me, he said, "Granddad, I've had a bad day at school." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, I dropped my iPhone in the toilet." And I guess to a 15-year-old, that's pretty traumatic, and I guess we could consider that a bad day. And here are some people who may think they're having a bad day. Yeah, I got to tell you now, when you can't get out of the harbor without running into a buoy or parachuting with a whole lot of alligators, or I don't know if that's photoshopped or not, but it looks like the guy in the helicopter is really out for a bad day. And so these are things that very often we look at and we say, yes, I'm having a bad day. And it may be even not something as traumatic as that. It may be that we, you know, go out in the morning and our automobile won't start and we think, man, this is going to be a bad day. Or we have a fender bender, or the computer locks up, or maybe we even get a pink slip. And we begin to look at things and we say that it's a bad day. And I know Ohio State fans had a bad day recently during the NCAA tournament. So there are bad days that we look at and we say, yeah, I'm having a bad day. It may be a spat that we have with our spouse, or it may be a return check. Maybe we got messed up in the bank, or maybe our son or grandson comes home and say, you know, I did not make the basketball team. Or he brings a report card home. Or if you're a young person, you come home from school and you see a sign on the refrigerator that says, you're grounded until further notice. You might decide, yep, I am having a bad day. And these are things that we often refer to as bad days. But I got to tell you something. When you think about bad days, you have to think about a couple of things. Number one, you got to realize that this world is in the clutches of sin and in the clutches of Satan. Satan is in control. He's the god of this age. And so when you think about that, you have to ask yourself, how is it possible to even have a good day? If the devil is in control of this world, and he is the prince of the power of the air of darkness, how is it that we can have a good day? The wonder is not that we have bad days, but that we have good days. And the truth of the matter is, suffering is part of the human experience. We need to realize that. There are going to be difficulties in life. That's just part of life. It's not pleasant, but it's part of life. You know, Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, in this world you will have tribulation. Job put it like this in chapter 14 and verse 1, man who is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, that is a reality. It is something that we encounter every day of our lives. Even in Romans chapter 8, Paul points out that even the whole creation groans. And it just kind of shows you that there are going to be some trouble and problems and tragedies within our lives. And our faithfulness to God is not going to alter that. I would like to be able to tell you that if you're faithful to God, that somehow you become inoculated from all the troubles and struggles of this world. That won't happen. As a matter of fact, Daniel's faithfulness could not keep him from the lion's den. Peter's faithfulness to God could not keep him from prison, and Paul's faithfulness to God could not keep him from the multiple shipwrecks and from the thorn in the flesh and from all of the perils that he encountered in this life. In this world, we have trouble and we have tribulation, and in this world, there are some bad days. But I want to tell you something. The things that we've looked at this afternoon, the things that we put up on the charts, these are not bad days, ladies and gentlemen, with all due respect. These are not bad days that people have. These are mere blimps. These are mere bumps in the road. We get up in the morning and the car won't start, or even to the point of losing a job. These are mere blemishes they're not really something that we could calculate and consider to be a bad day. Now, what I want to do this evening is I want to take you through the Scriptures, and I want you to study with me some people who've had some bad days. And then I want you to see how they handled those bad days and see if there's some lessons that we can receive from that that's going to enable us to be able to be successful in dealing with some genuine tragedies in our lives. In the first place, I would like for us to go back to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, and I'd like to consider David and the people that David was with in Israel at this time, and I want you to see what a bad day is. I want you to notice with me what a bad day is. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we'll begin reading, and I'll try to give us the context of this. Now it happened, this is when David was and Israel was battling the Amalekites. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag. Attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now what we've got to keep in mind is it was in that city where all of the women and children of David's army were housed. And it was attacked by the Amalekites. And had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Now I want you to notice verse 4. I want you to notice the responses of David and the people. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no more power to weep. Now, my friends, that's a bad day. David and the people came back and they realized that all of their loved ones had been kidnapped. They had no earthly idea what was going to happen to them. And the Bible said that David and these men of war, they cried and they cried and they cried until there were no more tears to stain their cheeks. That's a bad day. They had no earthly idea what was going to happen to their loved ones. Let me ask you, have you ever been in a situation like that? Have you ever been put in a position to where when something occurred that you just began to lose control and you wept and wept and wept until there were no more tears to cry and until you had no more strength to cry? Now I'm going to tell you, my friend, that's a bad day when that happens. That's not just the car not starting. David didn't have a broken wheel. He had a broken heart. Now, how many of us have ever had days like that? What do we do when something happens in our life that, I'm telling you, just crushes us, just nails us to the floor? And we cry and we cry. I remember, and some of you have already talked to me about that while I've been here. I remember when my 25-year-old daughter was diagnosed with uterine cancer. I remember as a father, I got down on my knees and I cried and I cried and I cried. And like David, I had no more tears to cry. That's a bad day. I had an equally bad day when my younger daughter was diagnosed with an aneurysm in her aorta, and we're just waiting. We're just waiting every day. It's just anguish. And when I learned of that, I cried and I cried and I cried, just like I did when I learned my baby sister had stage 4 liver cancer. These are bad days, ladies and gentlemen. Dropping a phone in a toilet is not a bad day. David was encountering a bad day with the people on this occasion. Now, have you ever wept like that? Have you ever cried over a destroyed reputation? Has someone ever spread lies and rumors and innuendos about you that destroyed your reputation and there's nothing you can do about it but weep and cry out to God? Maybe been betrayed by friends or had to spend a dark, cold, lonely night. That's what David encountered. David and his men came back and their loved ones were gone. And they cried until they had no more tears. What did they do? I'm going to tell you what the people did. The people blamed David. This compounded David's heartbreak. They blamed David. They accused David of being responsible for this. And it grieved every man. But David, verse 6 says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David turned this over to God. Then David said to Abiathar, verse 7, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Now the ephod was a priestly garment that was used to seek the will of God or a word from God. Verse 8 says, so David inquired of the Lord. David sought the Lord in this. This is what we do, ladies and gentlemen, when we reach the lowest point. And we don't blame God. We don't lash out at God. We get up and we seek God. This is what David did. David sought the Lord. He said, I need to inquire of the Lord about this. And when we reach the point that David was at this time, what we do when there are no more tears left, in Psalms 121 verses 1 and 2, we lift up our eyes to the hills from which comes our salvation. Or as the psalmist declared in Psalms 124 verses 1 through 3, if the Lord had not been on our side, then our enemies would have swallowed us alive. That's a bad day. But I tell you what, as we consider bad days, let's also consider the good man and the godly man, Job. I think all of us are very familiar with Job and the sufferings of Job. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like Job did in verse 11 of chapter 3? Job said, why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? You ever had your life in such a shambles and such a turmoil that you thought, well, it would have been better if I'd never been born? I just wished I hadn't been born in this world, or I wished I'd have died as a child, or I wished I'd have been stillborn. That's how Job was feeling. He said to his wife in verse 10 of chapter 2, he said, shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? Job recognized that his life now was one filled with adversity and evil. And it was filled with such adversity that he said, I wish I just died. Rather than having to handle this, rather than having to deal with this, it would have been better that I had just died as a child. Now, how many of us have ever felt that way? Job said, Job is telling his wife, basically, we can't praise God for the good things that happen and then blame him for the bad things. We can't do that. We can't do that. We've got to accept whatever comes our way. As some people say, you play the hand you've been dealt. You deal with what life has laid at your door. You deal with that. And this is what Job is saying to his wife. But he's also saying, it's such a bad time. And I'll tell you, when you talk about Job's bad day, we're not talking about a 24-hour period. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about something that went on for years. Did you realize that? Did you realize the suffering of Job went on for years? And Job had to deal with this. He was having not one bad day, but he was having a series of bad days. We know what happened, do we not? You look at the text in Job chapter 1, beginning at verse 13, he receives word that all of his holdings, he was the wealthiest man in all of the East, all of his holdings had been taken, either destroyed by fire, the Sabaeans, or somebody come in and took everything that he had. And that, as if that were not enough, he gets word that all 10 of his children were killed. And if that were not bad enough, now he is stricken with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And he suffers so bad that he goes out and sits in an ash heap, and he takes a piece of broken pottery and he scratches the boils that are on his skin. And this is the way that Job is suffering. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is a bad day. This is something that, I'll tell you what, none of us, I believe, can possibly imagine. The pain and the confusion. Job never did understand what was happening to him. But he had to deal with it day in and day out and day in and day out. I saw something that I tell you what, it brought tears to my eyes as I watched it. And I thought, this is unbelievably painful. A TV reporter was interviewing a woman who had received a heart transplant. She had received the heart of a young woman who had been killed in an automobile accident. And you know, when there are transplants like this, you sign things that you don't know who the donor was, and the family of the donor does not know who received the heart. But the mother of the girl who was killed wanted to find out who had her daughter's heart. And so they made some agreements and some arrangements, and anyway they got together. Here was the mother of the dead girl, face to face with the young woman who had received her daughter's heart. And that mother put on a stethoscope and placed it to the heart of that woman, and she heard her daughter's heart beating in another woman. I cannot imagine the pain that poor mother felt. But I tell you, seeing things like that helps me put into perspective some of the bumps in my road. That is a bad day. That, I believe, is a day that was like the day that Job, like the many days that Job lived. What did Job do? How did Job handle this? Now, there's a lot of things that Job did not understand. And there's a lot of things that Job was considering that were incorrect. There's no question about that. But I tell you, I love what Job says in Job 23, because this identifies basically the attitude that Job had in dealing with his suffering. Job said in Job 23 and verse 10, "But he, that is God, knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way. I have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips." Job said, "I don't understand it, but I'll tell you what God does, and I'm going to hold on. I don't understand what's happening to me, but God does, and I know that in God's providence this one day will end. And when it does, I'm going to continue to hold to that unchanging hand. Yes, I'm having some bad days," Job said, "but I will not turn my back upon God." When you're having a bad day, I want you to consider David and the people. And I want you to consider the godly man Job and spend some time thinking about the prophet Ezekiel. I have to tell you, Ezekiel has risen to the top of the ones in the Old Testament prophets that I respect and I regard. I love to read about Jeremiah, and I love to read about Amos and the faith and the determination that those men had. But when I read about Ezekiel, there's just a spark here that inspires me. You see, this was during the time that the Babylonians had destroyed Jerusalem and carried off captives. Remember, Daniel was in Babylon, serving in the court of Nebuchadnezzar at this time. Ezekiel was down in a refugee camp by the Chebar River in Babylonia, preaching to the people, reminding the people that you're here because of your sins. We abandoned God, and now we're here as a punishment of that. And we're going to be here until God is through with us being punished. This is where we're going to be. Now, the people were having none of that. They didn't appreciate what Ezekiel was saying. They didn't want to hear the message Ezekiel was preaching. But during the course of this, something happened in Ezekiel chapter 24. And he records it this way in verse 15. "Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eye with one stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh in silence. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your head. Put your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your lips, and do not eat man's bread of sorrow." He's saying to him, "You know what, Ezekiel? Your wife is going to die. and you're not going to have time to mourn her. I've got work for you to do. Your wife is going to die, and I don't want you to cry over her. I want you to go out, and I want you to preach to these people that are not going to listen to you. Verse 18, so I spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And the next morning I did as I was commanded. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is a bad day. That's not a fender bender. That's not losing your job. That's not making the basketball team. That's a bad day. The man's wife, the delight of his eyes, suddenly died. And God said, you don't have time to mourn. You've got work that you've got to do. And Ezekiel said, that's what I did. He said, I preached to the people, and in the evening my wife died, and the next day I did exactly as I was told. That's a bad day. Is there anything in your life that is just indelibly burned in your mind that you'll never forget? 2 years ago, this Mother's Day was May the 8th, 2011. Our youngest daughter and her husband and family were living in Valparaiso at the time. Valparaiso, Indiana's north of us, several miles. And they wanted to meet us halfway or somewhere near halfway, so we drove up to Lafayette, Indiana, after services that Sunday morning to meet our youngest daughter so that she could, with her mother, celebrate Mother's Day. My wife's mother was living with us at the time. She was 89 years old. And so we left her there that afternoon while we drove up. After we met with our younger daughter and had dinner and celebrated Mother's Day, by the time we got back, it was time for evening services. So we went on to services and we came home that evening. We walked in and my wife said, Mom, we're home. There was no response. And so Sue walks into her mother's bathroom, and there she found her mother lying in the bathroom floor having suffered a fatal stroke. I remember picking her up and laying her by my legs and holding her face as my wife called the paramedics. That's a day you don't forget. That's a bad day. And my wife is dealing with that even now as we come up on another Mother's Day. We were able to mourn, and we were able to be comforted, and we were able to have some finality here. Ezekiel was unable to do this. He hadn't time to mourn. The work of the Lord demanded that he cry alone. It demanded that he mourn in silence. And ladies and gentlemen, I cannot imagine what kind of day this would have been. Being unable to mourn for someone that you love, to mourn for a companion that you're no longer going to be able to kiss goodnight or touch when you enter a room or see walking down the hall. You just mourn alone. Go on about your work. And that's what Ezekiel did. You know, making time to mourn is able to help us to heal a broken heart. This is something I read at my sister's funeral. You never said, I'm leaving. You never said goodbye. You were gone before I knew it, and only God knew why. A million times I needed you, a million times I cried. If love alone could have saved you, you never would have died. In life I loved you dearly, in death I love you still. In my heart you hold a place that no one will ever fill. It broke my heart to lose you, but you didn't go alone. For part of me went with you the day God took you home. When you've been there, you've experienced a bad day. But what do you do? What do you begin to question everything that you know? Do you begin to question everything that you've believed and that which has been an anchor in your soul, or do you cast it aside? Sadly, so many people cast it aside. Sadly, so many people want to blame God. And sadly, so many people just have a problem going on with life. But faith, ladies and gentlemen, is trusting in the Lord. Faith is being able to cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Faith is being able to sing with the full assurance of faith, where could I go but to the Lord? Faith is being able to turn to the Lord as Paul did in 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 and 4 and find the comfort that is divine comfort that comes from the God of all comfort. And this is what Ezekiel did. And this is certainly what we must do during the darkest of days. We've got to look to the Lord. We've got to lift our eyes to the heavens. And we've got to place our trust in Him undyingly. And that's how you deal with a bad day. But also consider the good King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was an interesting king in Judah. He was a good king. Oh, he made some mistakes. There's nothing perfect about the man. There's no question about that. But I tell you, there's an event that occurred in 2 Kings chapter 19 that always sort of sticks out in my mind just a little bit. I want you to think about something that was going on in this good man's life. He received a letter. You see, the Assyrians were a wicked and a powerful and a ruthless and a cruel and a determined enemy. And the Assyrians had been conquering all of these little city nations. And now they set their sights on Jerusalem. And the king of Assyria sends a letter to Hezekiah. And he tells Hezekiah, you know what? We're going to take you down. Verse 10 of 2 Kings chapter 19. Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you've heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them. And shall you be delivered? You know what he's saying is, you know what, we're going to come in and we're going to slaughter you and your wives and your children, and we're going to ransack the city. We're going to grind you into ashes. We're going to wipe the dirt with your blood. And what did Hezekiah do? When Hezekiah received the message, verse 14, from the hands of the messenger and read it, Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. He said, Lord, I want you to look at this letter I got. I want you to be aware of this letter that I got. So he laid this letter before the Lord. I said, God, what are you going to do about it? I can't do anything about it. We're not going to be able to withstand them. Lord, what are you going to do? Incline your ear, verse 16, O Lord. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Verse 19, now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from the hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. They said, God, what are you going to do about this? We can't do anything about it. They're taunting us. And they're marching this way toward the palace. God, you are our strength. You are our shield. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had something that you just got on your knees in your bedroom, by your bed, and just laid it out there on the bed and said, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. I do not have the strength. I do not have the power to handle this. Lord, you're going to have to take care of it. That's what Hezekiah was doing. He said, Lord, will you take care of this? We can't do it alone. And that's a bad day. Oh, and by the way, you get over to verse 35 of that same chapter and you see that it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were corpses all dead. And Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. You know, it disheartens me sometimes to hear a brother or sister in the Lord say, well, I might as well pray. I don't have anything else to turn to. I might as well pray. Prayer won't hurt. You know, what kind of double-minded talk is that? I don't care what it is that we're facing. I don't care what tragedy we're encountering. I don't care what difficulties lie ahead. I don't care what obstacles are in our path. We have power on how God can do what He promises to do. And I need to trust Him. And Hezekiah said, Lord, Lord, we're at a loss here. We're just going to turn this over to you and see what happens. And he did, and you see what happened. But he was having a bad day. One more, and we'll stop the study tonight. I want you to think about the thief on the cross. Really, there are two thieves that were crucified with Jesus in Luke chapter 23. They were being executed for their crimes. They were being executed because they deserved execution. Our Lord did not. But you had a thief on either side of the Lord. And all these people taunting the Lord, and both of these thieves were taunting him at one time. That's a bad day. I'm telling you, these guys were about ready to go from pain of the cross into the fires of torment. That's a bad day. They were being punished for their crimes, deservedly so, and they were about to slip into eternity, slip into judgment, and slip into ultimate condemnation. That's a bad day. They were going from the taunts of the crowd to the weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a bad day. You ever read about in these fellows and read the last words that they say when they're being executed for their crimes? I always find that to be interesting. Some are indeed remorseful. Some are indeed trying to make amends there before the lethal injection takes effect. Some are mouthing to the victim's family, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." Because they're having a reality check here. I'm about to pay for my crimes, and I'm about to stand before God in judgment. And I am on the verge of giving an account to the great I Am for all of the things that I've done in this life, and I'm truly sorry. We see one of those thieves had that attitude. He said to the Lord in verse 42, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And I believe the Lord fulfilled that promise that he made to that thief the day that that thief and our Lord slipped into eternity. The man was saved. And the man had hope. And the man was with the Lord in paradise. And he was able to take this bad day at the last moment of this bad day and turn it into a glorious, victorious day. But you know, there's a common denominator between all of these, whether we're talking about the thief or Hezekiah, Ezekiel, or Job, or David. The common denominator is when their world was crashing down around them, they looked to the Lord. They looked to God. And that's what we must do if we're going to be able to deal with bad days. That's what we have to do if we're going to be able to have our sins forgiven and have the hope of glory that this man, this thief, would have had. Yeah, we've all had some days that we consider to be bad. I'm certain that we've all had some days that we felt were terrible, terrible days. Maybe even some that we feel are comparable to some that we've looked at this evening. But I want to tell you, you've not had a bad day. Listen to me now. Listen to me. You've not had a bad day till you stand before God and you hear Jesus say, "Depart from me. I do not know you." That is a bad day. And that is a time you will never be able to rectify. That is a time that is stopped in eternity. You can never go back and undo it. It is too late. "Depart from me, I never knew you." You see, you have an opportunity tonight. You have an opportunity to become a Christian. You have an opportunity to provide hope when you leave this world. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins, this is what I did this morning. Remember, we make this gesture. You're turning from sin, you're turning back to God. And you're willing to confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You can be raised to walk in new life. And I'll tell you something. That will make today a great day for you. I remember when my wife and I were baptized several years ago. And I was back in the changing room, getting ready to get down in the water. I heard the song leader get up and announce a song, and I heard the congregation begin to sing, "Oh, Happy Day." And indeed it was. Probably the best day of my life. That's what conversion can be. The best day of your life. Now, don't misunderstand me. You're still going to have some problems in life. You're still going to have some days that you consider to be bad. There's no question about that. Becoming a Christian, as we said early on, does not inoculate you from that. But I tell you what, you've got to remember something. You've got to remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, "For I consider," listen to him now, "for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Why don't you change this day into a glorious day and be faithful to the Lord, even though you encounter some very bad days in this life, knowing that your reward is great in heaven. If you're subject to the invitation, have the courage to come and commit your life to the Lord right now. As together we stand, as we sing.